Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of the living God upon which we meditate this morning is the center part of the letter to Philemon, verses 8 through 16. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wished to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who took the form of a bondservant in order to deliver us from the greatest of taskmasters, fellow redeemed. This past week in the House of Representatives, a judiciary subcommittee on the Constitution, Civil Rights, and Civil Liberties held a hearing. In case you didn't hear about it, its stated purpose was, quote, to examine the legacy of the transatlantic slave trade, its continuing impact on the community, and the path to restorative justice. End quote. In other words, they discussed reparations for slavery, some suggesting that the government, or taxpayers, should today repay the families of those who had been slaves 150 years ago for the abuse of their civil rights. Sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction, isn't it? Do we need to talk about slavery? Some suggest that the Bible approves of slavery, most notably the Ku Klux Klan, pointing out that men like Abraham had slaves. Does that mean that the Bible approves of slavery today? Well, no, it doesn't. The Bible also reveals that David committed adultery with Bathsheba and that Rahab was a lying prostitute. Neither serves to approve those sins. While God may have allowed, and you know he did from our Old Testament lesson, slavery under very specific circumstances in the Old Testament, the New Testament does not endorse or approves of one man owning another. In many cases, as you noted in our Old Testament lesson, a slave wasn't forced into service, but out of need, becoming an indentured servant. If a man became poor, he could become a slave in order to earn money for himself and his family. What does that have to do with us here today? Well, as it turns out, this brief letter of the Apostle Paul to a slave owner named Philemon, made up of just 25 verses, speaks to the destiny of a runaway slave, a man named Onesimus. But this isn't just historical commentary between the Apostle Paul and a slave owner. These words have been recorded in the New Testament for our spiritual growth. We aren't all that different from Onesimus. We too are unprofitable servants who sometimes run away from their responsibilities and serve ourselves, being destined for death. But God has intervened and has purchased us for God's service. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, for 33 years on earth, you labored and lived in perfect agreement with God's will, in order to purchase our release from sin, death, and Satan's power. You endured homelessness. You lost sheep. You lost sleep to pray for more strength. You let men abuse and crucify you. All this you willingly did to pay the price to make us your children and heirs. So you have delivered us from the slaughterhouse and have led us into the green pastures of your word. How could we be so much worth so much to you? Why should you be so devoted to us? What makes us a treasure in your eyes? It is your own love that places value on us. We ask that you let us remain yours now and forever. Amen. It's been often asked, if slavery was so terrible, then why did slaves, both in the early part of our country and in the first century, choose to stay with their masters? Seems like a logical question to ask, doesn't it? Why didn't every slave simply run away? Well, I suppose that in some cases, they didn't know anything else. In other cases, they were treated well, and their necessities were provided. Finally, there were consequences, especially in the Roman Empire, to running away. What was the destiny of a runaway slave in the first century? Well, if he was caught, he was destined to be beaten, at the very least, and quite often, crucified. That's right. Execution by crucifixion was reserved, for the most part, for runaway slaves and for those found guilty of the worst crimes. So I guess death would serve as some incentive to stick around, wouldn't it? Despite this, a slave named Onesimus ran away. It appears also from this letter that he took some of his master's goods, and he found his way from Colossae to the city of Rome. He was on the run, living from day to day. The Apostle Paul was also in Rome at the time, under house arrest, waiting to make his confession before the Roman emperor. Yet he received any and all visitors. And so it happened, by the grace of God, that the runaway slave Onesimus came into contact with the Apostle Paul. What did Paul do? Did he immediately call for the authorities and have him placed in chains? No. He talked to this unbelieving slave about Jesus. And by the grace of God, he came to be a Christian. For while the destiny of a runaway slave is the cross, faith in the cross of Jesus delivers slaves of sin from eternal death. When the Holy Spirit directed the Apostle Paul to write the letter to the Colossians and to the Ephesians, he also directed him to write this very personal letter to Onesimus' master, Philemon. While he might have prevailed upon Philemon simply to forgive and let his servant go, he instead appealed to him, not with law, but with gospel. Appealed to him in love. Verses 8 and 9. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. No doubt if the Apostle Paul had simply asked his friend to let his servant go as a personal favor, he would most certainly have done so. But Paul didn't want to lay a guilt trip on him. He wanted him to do the right thing for the right reason. He wanted Philemon to do it because the love of Jesus had been poured out into his heart and also into his former servant's heart. And so he appealed to Philemon with love, not pressure. You notice he didn't even call himself the apostle, but he referred to himself as an old man like you, One that is now in chains. He wanted the love of Jesus to be the motivating force. That's the same way that Jesus wants it to be for us today. He wants us to do the right thing no matter who's watching. He wants us to do it for Him, not for ourselves or to make a name for ourselves. He wants us to give to support this mission here at Calvary because it's a mission given to us by God. He wants us to be willing to show up and do whatever's necessary to keep the building in good repair, to clean and to serve, not because we must, but because we are motivated by love for Jesus and nothing else. The apostle also appealed to his old friend on behalf of his servant, verse 10 and 11. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. Now, it's not really evident from our Bible translation here this morning, but Paul first called Onesimus my son. Then he referred to him as the one whom I have become a father of in chains. And then last of all, he mentioned him by name. I wonder what Philemon thought when he first heard this name again. Did he think to himself, oh, that's that worthless slave that took from me and ran away? We don't know. But we can see that the Holy Spirit softened the blow of that name by speaking of the changes that had occurred. And what were those changes? The unprofitable slave, whose name meant profitable, had become Paul's son while in chains. Not his biological father. He didn't adopt Onesimus. He spoke to him about Jesus. He spoke to him about Jesus' perfect life, his sacrificial death, and his glorious resurrection. He revealed that, yes, even his sins had been paid in full by Jesus' death on the cross. And that changed the heart of Onesimus. And Paul became his spiritual father. But one more thing before we move on. Please notice that the Apostle Paul did not defend Onesimus' actions. He didn't claim that the end justified the means. He didn't say, well, so what happened? See how he came here and look at all the good things that took place. Instead, Paul led this unbelieving, runaway slave to the foot of Jesus' cross, where he found forgiveness and became a child of God. So when we sin, let's not defend our actions either. Let's instead confess our sins and seek God's forgiveness. Let's not be impenitent and hide behind foolish statements like, I can't help it, I'm only human. It's not my fault. No one is to be blamed for our actions, but we ourselves. And the amazing thing is about our gracious God is that when we confess our sins, trusting in His Son, He holds His Son accountable for them. And He's paid the price. In the end, it was Jesus, not Paul, that made Onesimus profitable. It was Jesus that moved Onesimus then to serve Paul in Rome while serving him. And it's Jesus that makes us profitable servants as well. We're naturally self-centered, self-willed, self-promoting, self-gratifying. And Jesus is the only one that can change that, making us selfless, glorifying God. We can see in what way Onesimus had become profitable. Verses 12 through 14. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wished to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. You can see how the gospel of Jesus changes human hearts. After hearing about his Savior Jesus, Onesimus didn't just say, "Oh, I believe in Jesus." But his faith showed in the way that he conducted himself. He served Paul, who was under house arrest and in chains. He became profitable to Paul and to the message of Christ crucified for sinners. It showed that he believed. Do our actions say the same of us? Do they show that we serve Jesus? Or do they sometimes call into question who is our master? God forgive us if that be the case. May God grant that we not send mixed messages to our friends and acquaintances and neighbors about who it is that we serve. Paul for himself would have loved to keep Onesimus for his service, except that integrity is doing the right thing no matter who's watching. So Paul sent Onesimus back to his master, and he returned willingly, for Jesus had changed his heart and his ultimate destination. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, only asked Philemon to consider God's hand in this whole matter. Verses 15 and 16. "For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord." Remember, the destiny of a runaway slave was the cross. But Onesimus obtained mercy when the Holy Spirit worked faith in his heart and gave him a new will to serve the one who died on the cross. Onesimus was delivered from death eternal through the cross of Jesus. And we really aren't much different than Onesimus. When we were born slaves of sin, destined for eternal death. We still find it easy, because of a broken nature, to turn from our duties and run away from the right thing. But Jesus has found us. Jesus has changed our hearts and our attitudes. Jesus has made us his own people by grace, through faith. And Jesus even defends us now with the Father, pleading his own life and death as our redemption. You might think of it like this. He stands up for us like Paul once stood up for Onesimus, offering even to pay the debt he had incurred, the debt we have incurred against God. We share the same destiny as a runaway slave. We deserve to depart to eternal death. But we have been delivered from our personal cross by the cross of Jesus. And now we look forward to going home to our Father's house and singing his praise forever. But in the meantime, we'll live in this world remembering it's not our home. No longer slaves of sin, but servants of God through Jesus Christ. God help us to remember that every day. Amen.